Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. I figured it was time to shake that up just a little bit. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows, Melissa Delp,
and Kevin Delp in the house.
Thank you guys for tuning into another hopefully fantastic episode as we talk about all kinds of things related to the board gaming hobby. Although sometimes that also involves TV shows and conventions and all the other fun stuff. Tonight we are
related
out.
To Tantrum House.
There we go. All the things related to Tantrum
House. There we
House.
Go. Got it.
Yeah. Tonight we're a little low on the cast. Everybody, all the peoples with the little babies seem very worn out these days.
I guess. I didn't even know what happened to Ryan and Katie. They're like, we're not coming.
Didn't even make it. We usually have a game night where we all play some games together and catch up on Tantrum House stuff. And then we roll into the podcast. We were a little low on attendees tonight, but we still got to play some games. We are preparing for a playthrough coming up. Which will probably already have happened by the time you watch this, I think. We were playing the new deluxified edition of La Granja.
Yeah, how do you say that?
Did I say that right?
That's, no. I felt you like don't know Spanish, great. We can tell.
That was Spanish?
Yeah.
Do you know what La Granja means?
La Granja?
I think it's yes. La Granja or La Granja.
La Granja. The great.
No.
The grand. The pretty good.
You know, Melissa?
I think it means farm.
It is the farm.
The farm.
Yep.
Yep. Wasn't going to guess that one for a little while. Even though I probably could have looked at all the components and discovered that we were playing with pigs and bacon and all kinds of good stuff. I have not played the original. Did you guys, were you aware of the original?
I had played the original back when it first came out when Stronghold released it. And I said to myself, boy, this needs better art. That's the first thing I said to myself.
Is that like a Stronghold go-to technique? Like, let's make games that are really great but just look not really great.
even like to me, Terraforming Mars,
right? 100%.
The box cover's not terrible, but the cards are
yes. I find nothing attractive about the game. Probably super fun, everybody can
have
love
you
it.
Ever seen the La Granja original game?
No.
Look it up while we go, but continue on.
No picture in my mind of what it is. I did enjoy it. It's especially with now, with its inset boards and cool custom-shaped tokens with stickers and stuff. We were obviously playing with a prototype version of it, but just imagining the luxury of the final version was pretty great. In the game, you're doing lots of things. Oh, yeah, that is pretty great cover art.
So we should probably mention that by the time you hear this, the Kickstarter will probably already be over. But
over, wow, so fast.
But
we did talk about it like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But it may have late pledges at some point. Mm.
So this was from Board and Dice, and then I think they I don't know if they do that many like reprints. I can't think of one.
Well, they've done a couple deluxe versions.
Yeah, but they
of
have
things.
Done deluxe versions of things. But this was something that they got a license to do, which is pretty cool. So yeah.
I think were they the ones that did Yedo?
No, I thought Yedo. That was Thundergriff. Did they do Yedo? Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Okay, sorry, folks listening.
So in La Granja,
yeah.
Did we already talk about all the components and stuff last week? I just zoned it out when you guys were. Maybe I wasn't even in that episode. Did you talk in depth about it coming?
Yeah,
and how
I mean,
to play
it was
it
like an hour long in depth. But you can talk about your experience.
But just know you can't pledge for it because it's over.
But you can late pledge. I'm sure it'll be up soon. Check
man,
game found out.
So sad. It was pretty neat. I love when a game has a good player aid that after one round, I can now tell what all the icons mean.
Mm-hmm.
I can immediately know what order to do things in. Good player aid. Good job, you guys. Yeah, it was neat. You basically are building up your resources by playing cards to your garden that will allow you to harvest things in future turns, and then you can upgrade those things. So you might make grapes this time and then upgrade them into wine, and then you've got orders that you're fulfilling throughout the board on different places on the board, as well as cards. The neat part about the game is that all the cards in the game are quadruple use cards, where you're either collecting resources, you are giving yourself player abilities to use throughout the course of the game, or you're fulfilling orders. Two different types of resource collection happening on each side of the card. Neat. I enjoyed it a lot. I look forward to our playthrough, where I'm going to totally come back and not be in last place and win the game. Except Melissa might have been last place, but I think she was like long game planning it.
She was spending.
We didn't play the whole game.
Right, we didn't play the whole game. She was spending victory point to do things during the game, which you can do. Like, a victory point is a resource, which I find very intriguing as well.
Well, I had a special card that let me do some cool stuff by spending victory points.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you did that.
I'm sure she would have won it.
She probably would have.
We should play all games where we only play three rounds. I might stand a greater chance of winning once in a while.
So, at the end of last year, I said to myself, I would like to keep track of my plays for 2022.
You're doing it?
So I've done it in the past, but I had just an old like app, but the BGG app doesn't work as well anymore.
Yeah.
So I went and bought the new BG Stats app.
Ooh.
It was like
that's
five.
That's the one I used.
It was like $5. But I found out that I had like some like free credits. Oh. So it was free.
Oh, right. That's the way to do it.
Credits for the BG Stat app, which I've really enjoyed. A number of things. It keeps, of course, track of everything you can put in players and all that. So hopefully at the end of the year, the plan is to like do a video or even talk podcast, like what was my number one played game, how many games I played, all that kind of stuff, which is
fun. How many times did Melissa win?
Yeah, if Melissa wins, I usually don't put player count on that one.
There's a lot of games without player counts on this list, I've noticed.
No, it's fine. But we played a game this, so it's really nice to keep track. So it's like, oh, what did I play this past weekend? So Melissa and I played Free Ride from Rio Grande Games. They actually are bringing it over from Germany. And
Friedman Friess.
It's a Friedman Friess game, you know, who's made like Power Grid and things like that. Mm-hmm. He, Free Ride in German, you might remember from the news show, means, or it sounds Freifahrt. Do you remember that?
I do remember this.
Yes.
So it just came in the mail and I have enjoyed the first play. I'd like to play it again because my first play was good, but there were things I didn't like about the game, the gameplay itself. There was fast rounds and then some slow rounds because of what's happening in the game. So I'd like to play it again and see if it goes a little bit faster because we might be more familiar with some of that. Melissa?
Right. I would say that it's kind of a mix of...
Oh, here we go.
Ticket to Ride, Transamerica, and Turn in Taxes.
They all had a baby.
And is it a train game?
It is.
Oh, okay.
It's a train game, route building game, where you're trying to make routes from city to city in Europe, which is fun. I enjoy the Europe theme. But you're like supposedly collecting monuments or something.
Like, well, you're visiting
the monuments. But I know some of my geography, but I don't know all my geography. And they're not all specifically placed in their exact spots where I think they would be. I'm sure they're close, but and even some of the names are more Germanic than English. So like Moscow is like Moskva or something like that. So it's you don't recognize those things right away. And it got me like,
yeah, oh, some of the V's were W's
or things like that. So. It was hard for me to like, okay, I'm trying to get from Copenhagen all the way down to Lisboa or something like that. I'm like, where are they? Like, I know Lisboa's in Spain somewhere. Or is it Portugal? Anyway, something like that. Melissa, do you have any other comments on Free Ride?
It definitely was, I would say, medium weight to the lighter side of medium. It wasn't a heavy game. You basically had two main options on your turn. Either you're moving your train or you're putting down tracks. And then you can use other people's tracks. Mm-hmm. So there's not really blocking going on. But you are trying to get to certain cities and collect cards to then be able to do your routes. And sometimes two players are trying to get to that same card. So I think Kevin got a few cards snatched from him during the game.
Possibly.
Stolen away.
But yeah, it was definitely an interesting way to pick up routes and figure out what how you're trying to get to different
cities. I think that's the main thing. It's not random routes you're getting, like a Ticket to Ride. Or even at the beginning of a Transamerica game, if you remember that, you're getting a hand of cards. And you're like, you need to get to these places.
You have to do it,
You have to do it. Whereas in this game, it's like you have a market of different options. Where do I want to go? There's six different columns, and each column has basically two options. So I have like 12 things to think about and try and find the cities and go to those places. So,
and you can only pick up the card if you are in that starting city. So if you're like, I want that route, so I have to get my train to that city to then pick up the cards to be able to complete that route.
Anyway, yeah, I'd like to try it again before I give my...
I feel like I'd have a huge advantage over Will because I know my geography a little better.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's
like,
the thing.
She's like, oh, all the geography. And I'd be like, cards done, win.
Well, it's like, that's what I'm saying. You might be able to go faster, but Will's still going to be sitting there for 5 minutes to be like, I don't know which one I want. And then you're waiting, like, why isn't Will going? It's not like he's going to get less points. It's just like he's just going to take longer looking for the things he wants.
There are too many dots on the map to look at.
There's quite a large number of cities you can go to. So
interesting. Yeah, I'd be curious to check it out. I enjoy a lot of his games, so that would be a good one.
I'd like to try that one too.
Okay, I can try it out next year for you.
Perfect. Yeah, give us a year, we'll be ready. We played several classics this week. We played like Sagrada with some friends. We played
Timeline
with some friends. We played Ecos. Is that what it was? Or I guess we didn't play. They were starting to.
No, Ethnos.
Ethnos.
Oh, I love Similar. Ethnos.
Yeah, that's a good one. But now, not really too many new games to the table. I have been thinking about, hopefully this will get you excited, Kevin, my top 10 of all time lists of the world.
Is?
Number one.
It's coming together?
It is coming together. I was actually going to shoot it today, and then life got crazy.
Will always says to me, he goes, hey, Kevin, guess what? I'm going to record it. I was going to record it yesterday, but...
I know. I don't know what's happening. I had full attention. I was like, I looked at my schedule this morning. I was like, I think I have time today. This is going to happen. And then I came out at noon and told Sarah, oh, four people needing rush jobs today. So I guess it's not happening today.
That's
great. But I'm getting more excited about it. The process of like, I have ideas for like, I want to treat this one differently than our normal top 10
list. I like that. So, I like to hear it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to...
Any spoilers for our fans?
I mean, I think I'm going to like psychoanalyze myself. Like, instead of just, here's 10 random games.
Wait, is there two Wills on the screen?
This is a very possible thing. Get ready for it, you guys.
Is one of them lying on a couch?
This is very, very possible.
This is actually kind of funny.
The thing that I need, though, do you have like a black turtleneck I can borrow? That's what I really need.
Black turtleneck.
I don't own a black turtleneck.
Jonah does, but it's probably a little big.
Oh, Jonah, yeah, it'd be a little loose on me. Maybe I'll stuff some pillows in there, too. I'm a whole different person. It'd be real exciting.
You should totally do that.
No, but I'm pretty excited about this. My hope is that it will actually be like a pretty valuable top 10 list instead of just being here's 10 random games that some random guy liked. I'm hoping that I can kind of define the type of person that I think would enjoy these types of games. And then you can just shut it off halfway through when you're like, no, I'm nothing like that guy. But I think if you have similar things that you enjoy in personality, you know, things, I think like these could be universally acceptable games.
Well, good. I mean, I think that's why people like your top 10 party games. You won. It's a different, the way you did it. There was couch plus other things going on. So I feel it was much more talkative.
Yeah, I agree. Having a little more fun. Sorry, I just had a weird pop-up on my screen that I've never seen before. I have no idea what this means.
Sarah has given you a time limit on your...
I've worked too hard today. I just got a time limit in Photoshop. I didn't even know that was a thing that could happen. Oh. All right, well, if there's nothing else hot that we've been playing, why don't we switch lanes and give a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Grand Gamers Guild. Their fourth game in the Holiday Hijinks line is available now, and it is called The Cupid Crisis. So this is great for the Valentine's holiday season. This is an 18-card escape room-style game, and they have them for several holidays. And you would be solving puzzles together.
I believe Will and Sarah have played another version.
Yeah.
Did you play the Christmas one?
Yeah. Yes, I don't remember what it was called.
The Kringle Caper.
The Kringle Caper. Yeah. I mean, it was the perfect type of like stocking stuffer type of game because it's pretty much a one-time through, but it is just a small deck of cards.
And you can pass it on.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And it was great, like family weight. I think it probably took us, I don't remember, it's been a while now. Did it take us 45 minutes to do? Did it take that long?
I think it was, it was around an hour.
Yeah.
Because Will was playing.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Reading each card slowly and trying to put them together. We pretty much let the kids dominate that one. And I think they pretty much did the whole puzzle by themselves. Like
There were a couple that didn't know the words to a song or there was something like they...
It wasn't in their cult.
Holiday mm-hmm. knowledge because sure. they're younger. And so we helped out in a few spots where they may not have known.
Well, check it out. Yeah. Grand Gamers Guild.
Oh, and I was going to mention that there is an app that you use with it that you put your answers in and it tells you if it's correct and can give you hints.
And one of the reasons we wanted to bring up Grand Gamers Guild as well is because they will be at Tantrum Con, which I don't know if we actually said at the beginning of today's episode. We'll be discussing a lot of Tantrum Con at the end of today's show, right, Will?
Yeah, we will now. I love that idea. I think I missed that memo, but yeah, let's do it for sure. They will be joining us for Tantrum Con. Looking forward to hanging out with them and their crew and playing games together and seeing what new things they have. Obviously, they're bringing, what was it one more time? Cupid Crisis?
Yes, the Cupid Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
With them, so we'll look forward to trying that out when we're...
I'm sure some other things that they'll be showing off as well. So check that out. Come to Tantrum Con. A little plug there, tantrumcon.com. Also, we have to give a shout out to some of our other sponsors. Keymaster, Platinum Sponsor, Boardwalk, some others.
Yeah. Yeah, so, big stuff. We're excited about the number and quality of vendors who are joining us this year. It's exciting to see the exhibit hall looking more and more like a exhibit hall.
Like a real boy?
exactly like a real boy, instead of like some tables with locals, although we love the locals as well, but pretty cool to have big names.
It's cool that you play games and then those vendors, those publishers are at your convention, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Cool.
All right, so are we hopping into our Kickstarter conniption?
Let's do it. Kickstarter conniption!
This episode will be talking about five games coming to Kickstarter the weeks of February 14th and the 21st. Melissa, start us off. Thundergriff Games is bringing an expansion to Tang Garden called Seasons. This is coming to, I believe, Kickstarter on the 22nd. And it is, they say, is the final expansion to Tang Garden. They're going to have rich scenarios, and the inspiration from these are the mechanisms that you already love in the game as you create your beautiful garden in Tang Garden. There's going to be new tiles, decorations, panoramas, visitors, boards, and components that you've never seen before.
Wow. Ooh. Invisible.
Ooh. Invisible. That would be never see at
Ever.
All. But Tang Garden, if you're not familiar with it, it is a tile-laying game where you're all working, laying tiles in the same board. It is a competitive game, and you have characters that you position in the garden, and they want to see certain things, so you'll get more points if you position your characters correctly. And it's just a very beautiful game with 3D
Super
trees
beautiful.
And bridges and landscape tiles. So Thundergriff Games is bringing the expansion Seasons to Kickstarter on the 22nd. Kevin.
On February 15th, Turnip Games is bringing Sum 8 to Kickstarter. This is an abstract strategy domino-like tile game where players have a hand of tiles that have pips on either side, but they're not rectangular tiles. They're very interesting shapes that when
half
you put
circles,
when you put
quarters,
right, when you put four together, it creates a circle, which is kind of cool. So one of the ends of the tiles is a little bit thicker, and the other end of the tile is going to be more pointy, which matters because as you're putting tiles down on the board and you want to put a four-pip tile down, you have to have the right side on it. So anyway, what you're trying to do to get points is to, like in dominoes, you're trying to match pips. So you can put a one with a one, a two with a two. That's a point. But because the name of Sum 8, if you can sum up the values of those two butting up tiles to make 8, you'll get 2 points
mm.
when you do it. And you can start connecting where you're connecting multiple tiles at the same time, the way the board's laid out. If you can create a big eight, so two circles, and you're completing two circles at one time, you're going to get 4 points to make a a big eight, hence the name Sum 8 as well. So as you are doing that, you are trying to, of course, get more points than your opponent. This is a one- or two-player game. Melissa and I have played it a couple times. And, yeah, it's as you are placing your domino like tile down, you're getting a new one, so you always have a hand of eight until you run out of tiles. There's like 36 tiles in the game, so it goes pretty fast, 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is that on your turn, you can either play a tile from your hand, or you can move a tile that's already on the board and isn't locked in, basically. You can't move a tile that would leave something hanging by itself, or move a tile from a completed circle. So that gives you more options of what you can do, not just the few that you have in your hand. And you're always thinking, I'm going to try to do this to set myself up, but does Kevin have
the right tile to fit
the tile?
In?
And at least in the prototype that we were playing, once you got used to the game, you knew which tiles were there. So, I don't see.
Because there's only 36 tiles. You can memorize.
I don't have the double six. The Kevin double six not has. Is not out there. Kevin could have the double six.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So,
is it like plastic and wood, or what was it made out of?
Ours was 3D printed.
Oh, okay. It didn't look like it was like cardboard, though.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, it was a nice 3D print job.
Yeah, it looked neat on the table.
I could see it being like the Azul, like. Tiles,
kind of acrylic, maybe?
Or it could be wooden. Yeah, I mean, any of those would be fine. I don't know what they're going to do for turn-up games Kickstarter, but check out Sum 8 if that sounds interesting on Kickstarter. Will.
Coming to Kickstarter February 22nd is Tidal Blades Rise of the Unfolders from Skybound Games. This is a sequel to the original Tidal Blades game. It is a 1-4 player adventure scenario game with lots of reading, dice rolling, and miniature stuff going on. The game adds a new mechanic that I don't fully understand, but it sounds interesting. You've got this like Nexus board that you'll be playing with where you add cards each turn, and every time you add a card to a row or a column, you then activate any of the other cards that are in that row or the column. So you'll be making it stronger for the first couple rounds and trying to pick what order to be able to activate multiple cards in. And then it adds just a bunch of new characters and lore to the world. You're now expanding and adventuring into the Unfold. You are into the Fold, where you're going to be finding other heroes that are Tidal Blade champions of the past that have been like frozen in time. Sounds like an interesting storyline. I still have yet to play the original Tidal Blades, which looks super cool, and I need to get to the table because this one looks even better. The components and stuff I'm sure will be fantastic. The original had inset boards and really cool different plastic pieces in addition to all the miniatures, and it looks like that'll be coming with this game as well. So if you enjoyed Tidal Blades, or if you enjoy adventure scenario stories, I think this is going to have like 18 different scenarios in it from designer Tim Eisner and Ben Eisner, then check out Tidal Blades Rise of the Unfolders. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming February 15th is Behexed from Smirk and Dagger Games. This is from designer Kurt Covert, Greg Milliken, Jonathan Lavallee, and Melody Smith. And this is a combat deck building game where you take on the role of a battle mage, and you will be trying to construct your deck in a way that fits your style of battle magic. So you will be constantly trying to deflect hexes sent your way, but also use your magic in a way that you can do better than your opponents. One nice thing about this deck builder is instead of when gaining new cards, they go in your discard pile, they do go directly in your hand to be used right away, which is always something I appreciate in a deck builder. And so you're not waiting multiple turns to get those cards in your hand to use them. So you're going to be cursing and counter-cursing your opponents and trying to focus your magic so that you can get enough victory points to win the game. That is Behexed from Smirk and Dagger, coming February 15th. Kevin.
Our final game that we're talking about coming to Kickstarter is Earth from Inside Up Games. We actually have Connor McGooey from Inside Up Games that's going to join us. So let's welcome our next house guest to the house. Hey!
Hey, thanks so much for having me again.
Yeah, I can't believe it, but I was looking back at our records, and it looks like exactly 1 year today we had you on the show. So welcome back.
That's crazy. Yeah, that makes sense, though. I was looking
I'm trying to think of what were we talking about? Block and key.
Block and key, the bane of my manufacturing existence. I spent 2.5 years prepping for that, to avoid those manufacturing pitfalls. But getting the right consistency of clay to paint adhesion was unbelievably complicated. It's super boring for anyone who's like, what is he talking about? But anyways, I'm trying to perfect it. It's finally been perfected, but it's been a heck of a time.
Well, it looks like a beautiful game. Looking forward to that. Anyway.
It looks awesome. I just got the final advanced copies, and it's going to be amazing. It looks amazing.
Before we talk about the topic of today's podcast interview, tell us a little bit about you and Inside Up Games.
Yeah, so it's been good. I mean, we've been really, really busy, which is awesome. A lot of growth. Three titles actually coming out this year, so maybe I'll get on the show three times if you'll have me back. We'll do another We'll do another one in the summer for our first to kind of draft and write game, and then we'll do one in the fall for probably the heaviest game that Inside Up Games has ever done. A really thinky, heavy Euro with a rondel. So yeah, it's been exciting. And then actually just in the past couple of weeks, we put out our first job posting and brought on actually not one, but two new staff because the interviews went so well. So we're super excited. Yeah, 2022 should be a good year.
Well, we have you on the show because there's a Kickstarter launching that you're bringing a campaign called, you know, this little game called Earth.
Can you believe that title hasn't been used yet?
No, I was looking. I was like, no way. No way. You know, that was
We went pretty... through so many like okay titles and they're just like, it doesn't fit. And like, it's trying to sound cool, or like, it doesn't fit in with like how this part, like, the game is just so natural. Like, it doesn't. And then we're like, well, why not just Earth? Like, and because also Earth is the currency in the game. You're using soil to pay and buy for things. Like, it works for that. It works for the title. And it's a game about the planet Earth, so it's perfect. I went for Planet Earth, I'm pretty sure BBC would have sued me, so we avoided that.
Yeah, I like it, but I like it's a cool name. You know, we live on it. You got to have a game about it now, right? So everyone has to buy it. So
they better. If they don't, then they hate Earth, right? No, all joking aside, it's pretty awesome. It's not my design, so this is going to be. Come on, brain. The fourth game in the Inside Up Games catalogs that is not one of my designs. It was designed by Maxime Tardif, who's out of Quebec, out of Montreal. And he's done other games in the past. He's done Brilliance and stuff as well. But he did this and pitched it to me a while ago now. I want to say like almost a year and a half. And it's really good. I knew pretty quickly how much I was going to enjoy it and how well it would do just because of the engagement while playing. So Earth, I mean, I should probably tell you a little bit about it, but it's basically a card drafting engine builder tableau building game of resource management. And what I like about it is that it takes all the things I enjoy from those genres and like multiplies their effectiveness and removes the things I don't like. It removes the downtime, the waiting for someone else to min-max a card, the overall playtime. It just boils it down to kind of what you want to experience, and it gives you that experience in a really short period of time, which is exactly what I liked. So in the game, everyone's going to be drafting cards and playing them into a tableau that they're creating, a 4x4 tableau of their own island that they're creating by planting various types of plants and terrains, you know, trees, bushes, herbs, mushrooms, this sort of things. And they're going to exist symbiotically with each other. And the two different things about the game that really appealed to me was one, during the game, there's lots of resources. So unlike a lot of engine builders where it starts really slowly and it's kind of painful. And then by the time you get your engine going and you're really excited, the game usually
ends. The game's over. I hate that.
Right, exactly. Right. So this actually starts and everyone chooses their island climate and an ecosystem card, and that jumpstarts their engine by giving them their starting resources, their hand size, and some starting abilities so they can do things right away. So what ends up happening is everybody has resources and you're in that growth stage like immediately, which is very, very nice. So it's kind of rewarding for all players at the same time. The simple mechanic that Maxim did, which I think is the genius part of the game, is he created basically four actions that players can choose from. And they're at the top of the player board. And what ends up happening is on the active player's turn, they're simply choosing one of these four actions, be it, you know, planting cards or composting, which is, you know, gaining some soil, which is the currency in the game. So one of four actions. What ends up happening is the active player gains the major benefit, but then all other players gain a minor benefit. So what ends up happening is you're never sitting and waiting through someone else's turn. If I'm gaining stuff, then Kevin's gaining stuff, right? When Kevin gains something major, I'm still gaining something minor, so I'm always able to contribute to my strategy, build upon my strategy, and like I'm not stuck just watching you play your turn for half an hour. Mm-hmm. And then after that, whichever of the four actions I choose, all players, myself and everyone else, will activate all cards on their player board and in their tableau that match that colored action. So if I took the plant action as the active player, I get to plant two cards and then draw four, drafting one, and then activate my green abilities. As an other player, you would then get to plant one card, draw one card, and then activate your green abilities. So again, everybody's engaged. There isn't that downtime. There isn't that waiting. There isn't that frustration of like, oh man, look at their engine. It's doing so well. I've just been sitting for 20 minutes waiting for my turn. Mm. Everybody's always engaged. So it always kind of feels tight, feels exciting. The other thing he's done is he's created, so as I mentioned, there's three cards you start with. And the third one I said was an ecosystem card. That's kind of an end game scoring multiplier. And it gives you a goal of where you want your strategy to go. But also in the middle of the board, there's a flora and fauna board. And on that board, four fauna cards are placed and two ecosystem cards. Now, the ecosystem cards there are endgame scores that all players can use. So you can all be kind of going for those as well. But the fauna cards, the animals, those are kind of the in-game race mechanic. Whereas, you know, if I can get the crocodiles to my island because I have enough wet habitats, if I can get the crocodiles to my island first, I'm going to score more points than you if you were to get to their second. But then again, it's going to be really difficult for me to try to be the first at all four of those places. Meanwhile, also watching for those ecosystem cards I'm trying to go for and worry about placement in my tableau. Because one of the things I haven't mentioned is he's created a need of clever building in that tableau as well. So though it is a 4x4 grid of cards, they're always activated from left to right, top to bottom, meaning that where you place those cards, how they react to each other can be very important for not only the strategy of, oh man, I need to make sure I have more compost because my next card needs compost, that I can turn that compost into growth cubes, right? You need to plan for that thing. But also these in-game scoring objectives, the fauna and the end-game ecosystems, they might have things, for example, like, you know, have one of each different type of plant species in a column, maybe have a row of all bushes, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be kind of guiding players for these different victory point options.
So speaking of growth cubes, I saw a picture online of some of the components. Tell us about some of these components look really cool. Like you're building towers. Are these trees? What are these? Tell me more about the components.
So yeah, the main component of the game is cards. There are 364 unique cards in the Ooh. Game. And okay. the vast majority of them are used in the Earth deck. But all of those fauna cards I mentioned, the ecosystems, the islands, the climates, those are all actual double-sided cards. So the way we've created it is in that opening starting hand, you have over 25,000 possible starting hands just from setting up your player board, never mind the 200-plus cards that would be in a gameplay. So it's a card-based game where you're never going to play that same kind of game. Now, the components that you're speaking about is one, the very obvious, you know, those 8mm cubes. Those are plant cubes, and those will actually get placed onto the cards. And that's kind of like your horizontal growth. So if you think, you know, your lawn and the grass or the mushrooms growing out on a horizontal plane, and as those spread out, those return into victory points at the end of the game. Okay. You can also convert them into soil during the game. So it's another way of kind of maximizing on your engine, depending how you want to do. The thing that you did see that looked like a little bit of towers are, yes, in fact, trees. So those are prototype components. So I'm still doing a lot of back and forth with the manufacturer trying to refine.
I was going
to
ask you what your like shape. Vision is of what you want them to look like.
So I want them to look like beautiful trees. Now, here's the issue that I'm doing a lot of back and forth with the manufacturer for. First of all, Forest of Pangaea did a beautiful Kickstarter last year, maybe, and they have these gorgeous wood stacking trees. The reason why I can't just be a jerk and copy them is that our mechanics different. So in Earth, when you're playing, some of these plant cards will have different growth objectives on them as well. And those growths are directly proportional to the type of card it is. So for example, a lot of these mushrooms are going to have a lower growth than the trees, which are going to, you know, need to be taller, obviously. So you're growing at different values. But what's interesting to know is on that growth space, you have both a growth number and then a victory point bonus for reaching that growth number. So for example, a small mushroom might just have one, meaning only one piece can be placed on it. Whereas a large, you know, a redwood tree might have eight, and then you get this massive stack of this beautiful tall spire. The part that's important is that it's the last place that gets placed, the last piece that gets placed on top of that stack, which shows that it's done and unlocks those victory point potentials. So it's actually the growing of the trunk, the under canopy piece that, that ends up creating that height. And then you need to put that last one on top. Okay. So currently we're looking at kind of different options of doing that. I'm really trying to do as much as I can in recyclable, compostable material for the game. So as much paper, cardboard, and wood as possible, trying to eliminate that plastic. Just again, it's about the earth being eco-friendly. We did that for our Sea Change as well. You know, trying to keep that game as earth-friendly as possible. So that's kind of the goal. The issue we're running into now is the ability of making these pieces that we're trying to make that we've had built in 3D models, having them made out of wood in a cost-effective manner. So I'm still trying to see if I can pull it off, and I'm hopeful, but it's not confirmed.
Well, I also want to talk about, we mentioned all the cards and all the beautiful, beautiful artwork on them, and the box cover just draws you in. Of course, I'm looking at it right now. The, you know, just the subject matter of Earth. There's so many different beautiful places on Earth, and I think you just drew the eye to the right places. And it's very stunning. Tell me a little bit more about the art.
Yeah. So thank you. So so again, without trying to cast shade on other games, one of the things that's so important to me and to Inside Up Games is just that the look of our games, the quality of the art. And the thing that was interesting with Earth is that we didn't go with the traditional art route. We've actually gone with photography, because one of the issues we ran into was just the pure number of assets we would need to have drawn if we wanted to do 364 unique pieces. And again, never mind the two-sided cards, so it's actually more than that. But also, it doesn't matter which filter, style, effect we went for, it couldn't capture the details that we needed. Because although there are so many cards, if you think about it, there's going to be so many different types of lichen and moss and grass. And if it was just art, it could potentially just look like a whole bunch of green hairy cards, right? Whereas these photos are all handpicked by me and hand-placed by me to maximize their look, to remove any sort of human habitat from the photos, any influences, to just really capture the beauty of nature. Because I wanted players to be able to play the game and just be awestruck by the natural beauty of everything. Like it's I haven't Photoshopped them. I haven't edited them. I haven't done any photo manipulation. These are just pure, you know, professional photography photos of the subject matter.
Well, I think you did. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of those awesome photos. they're really cool.
It's crazy. And we had the game set up. We had the box, a prototype of it at PAX Unplugged. And the amount of people it stopped just from the box cover. And the one thing I learned for anyone who, because again, it's an audio podcast. One thing that kind of blew my mind is while researching these photos and finding these amazing vistas and landscapes, the part that was interesting to me is when I'm looking at the metadata of the photos, because we're trying to make sure everything is as scientifically accurate as possible for when we're naming a location or a species. But for a lot of these locations, when I'm like, oh, that is amazing, 99% of them are Iceland. It just has this amazing, like the breadth of like volcanoes and beaches and like black soil beaches and rock outcroppings and waterfalls. Like, so I apparently need to go to Iceland.
I guess we need to go. Iceland. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll have to have some big trip.
Before we say goodbye, tell us a little bit about the campaign itself. Kickstarter campaign launches. Any other details you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, you bet. So we'll go live on February 15th, which should be a Tuesday. Now I'm panicking because I'm saying it out loud, which will be a Tuesday. It'll be 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as common with all of Inside Up Games Kickstarter campaigns, if you can get in for a pledge on day one, the first 24 hours of the campaign, then you have the option of getting your name printed on the inside of the box as a thank you to everyone who jumps out and supports us, which has been fun because that list has been growing and growing on every box cover. And yeah, we're looking at approximately 42 to 45 US dollars for the game. I am going to be throwing in some Kickstarter bonuses there for people who support us on there, as well as some deluxe components, which Wonderful. Won't be available in retail, to try to entice those people to come in and help us help us make this a reality.
Yeah. Well, very good. Congratulations on another campaign launching. That's great. And a hopeful success on it as well. And it was great having you on the show, Connor. And we'll look forward to having you back soon.
That sounds awesome to me. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye.
It was great having Connor on the show. Once again, that is Earth. As for 1 to 5 players, I am so surprised that Earth has never been taken as a
How is that not the name
board
of,
game name.
I should go look it up right now. There's like Earth something something.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's Unearth. There's Planet.
Planet Earth.
Earth, leaving Earth.
Yeah. In the interview, he did say that Planet Earth, he probably didn't want to go that route and get sued by BBC or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You might as well just go with the straightforward Earth if right. it's an option. Right. Way to go.
I was just thinking, though, as we move forward, we introduced this as Kickstarter Conniption, but now we've changed everything.
Do we need to change it to crowdfunding?
Conniption.
Time to update.
So we need to update
Do the people at home notice that? Are they like, we need the crowdfunding to be more generic?
Yeah, we probably should make sure we know if it's actually going to Kickstarter or GameFound.
Right.
Is anybody still using Indiegogo? And
there are people, but not for board games too much.
No.
It's being used for other products.
Right. So. Keeping it for the Kickstarters and for
GameFound.
The GameFounds.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So we move into our
topic for the day.
Topic, yep.
Which is Tantrum Con.
Yeah, that's coming Woo-hoo! February 24th to the 27th. There are badges still available. We'd love for you to. Oh, I forgot one more thing. Earth, you can watch us do a playthrough this week, Thursday night. So there we go. Back to Tantrum Con.
Join us on Earth.
Yep.
For Earth. So you're going to be listening to this episode potentially February 14th, which means you've got 1 week to prepare. Because Tantrum Con is coming.
That's right.
Really soon.
Next week.
24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, January or February 2022.
Best 4 days of the year.
That's right. Tantrum Con at Charlotte, North Carolina. If you live far away, it's okay. We have an international airport, Charlotte.
Just fly right in
and
there.
And there's free shuttle to the con.
That's right.
It's not too late. Get your badge right now. I just had a lady today who reached out to me and said, man, I'm super excited that you guys are going to have a convention in Charlotte. That's like, it's not very far from where I live. I've always wanted to go to a board game convention. Where do you live at? Oh, Spartanburg. Oh, I shouldn't tell you that we had our convention there for last the last year. 2 years. And you missed it. I'm so sorry. So yeah, people are still getting the word out that we are in Charlotte, that we're coming, that we are doing a convention. This is, man, I try to compare our event to big events, which is unfair because we have, in case we haven't even specified this, we have somewhere between like 400 to 800 people, depending on COVID worlds and where we're at and time and stuff. So we're not a large event at all, but fortunately we have lots and lots of friends who enjoy helping us out. Lots of publishers who donate their fantastic games to the event. We've got people who design things and people who then proofread them to make sure that they're correct. And then people who print signs. So I feel like our space is pretty well decked out. This year, I'm kind of excited. We're getting a local group that's bringing in like the giant games. So we'll have the huge Catan and huge other games. I don't even know what's on the list.
Ticket to Ride is definitely on them.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So like that's all things that I remember seeing at my first conventions and being like, oh, this is really neat.
We could probably make some of these too in the future for like King of Tokyo.
One of the games that I would like to make that I think would be a lot of fun is Tower of Madness.
I saw that.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if he actually
does it exist.
I know he has
a big one.
I mean, I saw it at Gen Con.
What
should we ask
him? Yes.
Yes.
Is he flying or driving?
Calling him now.
I need a giant version with pool noodles and I don't even know what's involved in it, but
I'll ask him right now.
Beach balls. What's what? How I didn't see it. How big is this thing? Is it like
it's your
normally
so the tower,
it's marbles?
The tower is the size of you.
What, it was the, probably about as tall as Kevin.
What are the balls made? Are they like the pool? Are like the McDonald's pool pit balls?
I remember.
The, I need marbles that are huge.
We can make like dodgeballs.
Yeah, that'd be, I'm all in for that. That'd be fantastic.
I'm asking them.
Make it happen. See if we can get that at TatronCon. I'll just fill the time while you text right away.
So I'm not sure if Nishant is a podcast listener, but oh, I know yeah? that Nishant often comments on our live videos, and I just saw his name as an attendee.
Getting a badge? What? Yeah! It's happening! I love it. I've had a couple people actually reach out to me, people who hang out with us on YouTube. You know, we do, if you haven't tuned in, pretty much every Thursday night. Every Thursday night.
Every Thursday night, yep. Except for maybe like Christmas Day. Yeah.
We're doing playthroughs, playing games, hanging out with our group, and then we're doing it live on YouTube. And we've got a pretty good regular following of folks who join us from all over the place and tune in, and we have a good time, you know, asking them for tips and cheering. When we were playing Jurassic Park bid to win or whatever it was called, like half of my answers came from the comments. It's been so long since I've seen Jurassic Park. I was like, I think I don't know what his name was, Jim or Tim or somebody. I was like, hook me up, just send me the answers on YouTube, because I do not know the answers to these trivia questions. It's a blast. It's super fun hanging out with friends that I've never met. I have only chatted with them. That's the world we live in with technology. But a couple of them have reached out and said, hey, I thought I'd friend you on Facebook so that you might recognize my face at TantrumCon, because I'm coming.
Because you only know, you know me by as, my handle, yeah, and it's not, my name's not in it. So.
Right. Yeah, so I'm
some
very
of those people, I do know their real names because I do ship them prizes occasionally.
Oh, she's got hookups, yeah.
I do, yeah.
Holding out on me.
I know.
But I have their faces. You don't recognize them. I won't recognize them either. But when they come up, I'll be like, oh, yeah, you did reach out to me. It was great. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to connecting with people for sure. That'll be fantastic.
That is my favorite part of TantrumCon.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Hanging out with all the friends.
Yeah.
Friends and fans and everybody at the event.
My other favorite, equally favorite thing is table flipping. And then my next favorite thing is tournameals, which I was thinking about this yesterday. One of our tournameals is sponsored by, I don't know, R&R Games? Who's yes. Mystic Paths?
R&R Games.
And.
Correct. Ding.
Yay, I got one right. Oh, do I get a pew 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 for that? Was it? Yeah, I did. We're playing Mystic Paths, which is a fun game. It's weirdly themed because it doesn't seem like the type of game that it would be from the box cover. Mm-hmm. But in the game, you are trying to make your way around the path, kind of code name style, where you're giving word clues. And do we know how we're doing an opening reception with this game? Are we just, opening reception. Are we just putting it out on the table and letting people play it? Or here's, I have an idea for how to have everyone in the room.
Tell us your idea.
Play one game. All right. So first off,
it's a 6-player game.
It's about to be everybody.
But we do have copies, right?
We have copies.
We do have enough copies for everybody to play. But I was thinking it would be fun to have like one person, one of us probably, be the clue, like putter downer or whatever. And then instead of the other three people at the table helping you, I think you should have your whole team of 6 people or whatever, because then we could have, you know, 40 people playing it or whatever, or 36. I don't know how many players were at the table. But and then they have to vote on which order for you to move in. So we could do. So I have, you know, I can't give an example because there's too many words involved in it. But I put down my 4 cards to say that this is the direction you should go in. And then instead of the other 3 people at the table cooperatively helping me, it would actually be like competitive, where my team is picking which pieces to move on. And if I get to the end first, then all my people win the prize instead of you guys.
That actually is not a bad idea.
I'm lost, so okay.
I completely understand.
But we'll discuss this more after the podcast and
but
see what we come up with.
All I hear is, instead of the 3 people giving you things, the 3 people are going to give you things. That's all I heard.
Yeah, you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, you were paying attention.
I was trying to pay
attention. Instead of being a cooperative game with the other players at the table, we're now going to be competitively team-based.
So the people at the table would put down the clues just like they normally do, but then instead of the other 3 people that are playing with you help like deciding where you're going to move, mm-hmm. it would actually be your other team of people not sitting at the table.
You would almost want this to be like a big version.
what other team of people is doing it.
I think he's saying like each table is assigned to one of the Tantrum House people.
Right.
So like table three is Kevin and table four is Melissa. We'll work on the logistics. And if you come to this event, maybe that'll happen. Maybe,
maybe
you'll play
just,
at
maybe
your own
play
table.
The regular way.
Or maybe we'll do both.
Ooh, yeah, there fine. We go. Satisfy us.
You could just do a short. Just, you could do a short like, five.
What is happening?
A five level or a five path instead of a 10 path.
Sure.
Oh, then I'm definitely beating you guys.
Sure.
What are some of the other tournaments that we got going on? The other thing that I don't think we've determined yet. So this is another thing. This is a live brainstorm meeting that you're tuning in for. Who's running which tournaments? Do
we
know that yet?
I've signed up for the ones I want to run.
You signed up for them? Do
yep.
I need to sign
up? I put my name as host.
Oh.
I said to Melissa, put me down with the Rolling Realms and I believe Longshot the Dice Game.
And you're on Scrap Racer.
Oh, and I'm a Scrap Racer. Queen Games will be there, so hopefully he'll help me out with that one. Longshot the Dice Game, yeah. By the way,
yes.
I just got notification that they're in the mail.
Oh, very nice.
You got
nice.
Emailed, too. You didn't remember.
Yes. I knew
probably
about
did.
This.
I think
I
we have
Monica got 1,000 boxes,
10
too.
Or fewer tickets left for Longshot the Dice Game. And we started with like 60 or 70.
Okay. Cool.
Hopefully yeah, we have enough games. Those tournaments are filling up quickly.
Yeah,
so
I don't know what the cap is on Two Rooms and a Boom. It was getting full, too. I did recruit more help for that, which I'm excited about. Found a guy in town who's a big fan who has a copy of the game, which is good since you can't even buy a copy. Did you know that? You can't buy Two Rooms and a Boom unless you get on Amazon and or on eBay and spend like $300.
Is the company not doing it anymore?
They're sold out. They're out of print.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is the company around?
They are, but they're not for sale on their website. I mean, their website says
they're
sold
out.
Out.
Yeah. It might be between printings,
yeah,
potentially.
Exactly. But when you need it for an event.
How about the comedy show? That's cool.
That is cool. That's going to be a new thing for us. We'll see how that goes.
I'm telling you, I saw a little Twitter post that Grant put in showing off one of his jokes. For Tantrum Con. I don't know if it's part of his spiel or not, but it was kind of funny.
For Tantrum Con? Or
I don't
did he
know.
Say that, or did he just say it was part of his board game stand-up
and
show?
He tagged Tantrum Con.
Okay. Tagged Tantrum Con. It was, I'm not going to do it as well as you.
Do the stand-up routine, Kevin.
Here we go. So we're all, you know, love the Kickstarter, like all the stuff that they add on to the Kickstarters and the miniatures and make it like super ultra deluxe, right? And they like can get like super refined, like amazing miniatures, right? But they can't make super amazing dry erase markers.
That's right.
Right? Like the way he said it was amazing. That was
right,
really
right.
Funny. But
I
it's
gotcha.
Like, I'm like, why can't they make dry erase markers?
It's so hard.
I mean, Ryan, we just sat down to a game with Ryan yesterday. It was a longer game. And there was a part where you had to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I don't know if I can play this game. It's got a dry erase marker. And I'm like, what? It's one marker. We're all just using this one marker a couple of times in the game. I just hate games with dry erase markers. So much that you won't play them? What? You just
and the
buy
voting
new
is
ones.
Literally, the voting ballot that you vote on is a postage stamp size piece of cardboard, and you literally put a little tiny check mark on the mark.
But you actually
do
vote. I enjoyed voting.
It was fun to cast your ballot. That'll be a fun one. When is that? Is the Kickstarter coming?
Yeah, it's Kickstarter coming in March.
March. So
is this a solar
away.
One?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's going to be a fun one.
Okay, it's a legacy game, I heard.
It's
and
a campaign.
And legacy.
Wow.
What, is there stickers and stuff? What's the
yes,
legacy
there's
part?
There's all kinds of stuff. Stickers, books, stickers. Boxes, envelopes.
Crazy.
All kinds of stuff. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks, though.
Okay. Well, speaking of dry erase markers, we also have a Rolling Realms tournament.
Yes.
Which is from Stonemaier Games. It's a roll and write. It's one I really enjoy.
I don't know how many tournaments I will get to come to because I do registration and make sure that's all happening quickly, but everybody's excited to be there. So one thing I do enjoy about Tantrum Con is playing games late at night because that's when my area closes and I'm free to hang out with the peoples.
Yep.
So there's usually some designers there who bust out prototypes and we get to try some new iterations of games that we may have seen in the past or maybe brand new to us. So that's always fun. And then I always do see lots of people having fun with the learn to play or the
Play to wins.
Play to wins, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Some people
there's
just, that's
so
what they do,
many.
Right. Yeah.
So many.
When there's 150 opportunities to win a game, you stand a good chance of walking away with a couple.
Yes.
If you dedicate 3 days to playing them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a great collection of play to wins that are coming. We've also got a number of tournaments. We've got the state championship tournaments for North Carolina. We've got a Catan qualifier. We're doing we're making it happen. We're doing a Wordle tournament. I also made up the rules to that one. It's going to be amazing. It's
I heard
way
a little
too complicated
that one.
For Kevin to understand at this hour. But there'll be like a triple, what's it called when you like, if
he's going to explain it anyway.
It's not elimination rounds. It is elimination rounds, but it's not double elimination. That means you can fail twice, right?
Single elimination?
Single elimination, 3-round Wordle tournament.
You're in.
Bring your Wordles.
But there's also just a fun daily Wordle.
Okay. So there's fun.
So just fun daily Wordle.
You can have the non-competitive just, I'm here to play
for no reason.
Are these
5-letter Wordles?
They are.
They are.
Okay.
They may or may
and
not be.
And they're custom. May or may
right,
not
exactly.
be themed.
Okay.
But if you get too stuck on the theme, then you're going to be confused.
You're
going to
be confused. So good
games.
Luck with that.
Right? Think of all
Catan.
The 5-letter words that you
House.
Can think of that fit in the H-O-U-S. Yeah, it could fit in there. T-A-N-T-R.
Nope.
It could just be tantra. You never know when we make it. It may not even be real words.
Are they spelled correctly?
They are.
Somebody should
Sarah,
check
I actually was the one to come up and make these,
I'd be really
these words.
If Will was doing this
if
by himself.
If Will was doing it by himself. He asked me for ideas, and I gave him a lot of great words that do have to go, but they're not words that you would think.
Good.
Just off the, like, if you were trying to guess words that went with Tantrum Con, these go, but not like.
I might sneak into the tournament.
Do it. Compete. Come and compete.
So here's the
I
thing.
Don't think you can actually
you
win,
do,
Melissa.
Do you guys do the daily Wordle?
Most of
us,
I don't
there?
Do it now.
Today was hard. Meaning today was very much in the past for listeners.
Right. Yes. I was, I don't do it every day. I'm not dedicated enough. However, I don't think I've failed one yet. Which I think is pretty good.
I haven't failed one. This was close.
I
but I made the mistake
either.
Of doing it at 12:30 at night, and I almost missed it. It was a hard one.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, oh, no.
I did search to find out, like, what's been the hardest Wordle? Because I was curious, like, are the words I'm doing, like, harder than these words? Which I don't even know how you could.
We're also playing on
that.
Hard mode.
We are playing on hard mode. And I found this Reddit feed where everybody was, like, freaking out. Everybody lost. I should be able to remember the numbers, like 189 or something. I don't know what it was. And I was like, what is it? Nobody was saying what the word was. They were like, they were doing a good job of not spoiling it. But everybody was like, it's so hard. I don't know how anybody could ever figure this out. I failed. You're like, all these people failed. And then when I looked at which word it was, it was Noel.
I got that one.
Yeah.
I got that one in 3.
I know. So did I. And I was like, I don't know if I got it in 3. I did get it. I do remember it being hard. Like, I was like racking my brain, like, what word could even fit in this organization? But I got it, and then I went back to look at it, and I was like, 1,085 people commented, you know, like how hard it was. Mm-hmm.
It helps that I drive by a road every day that's Pine Knoll.
Pine Knoll, I would say, yeah.
So it is a word that I know and is in my
funny.
Subconscious.
No, I agree with that because when I got it, I was like, oh, yeah, I know a guy whose last name is Knoll. So that definitely helped me out. That made it way easier. So that'll be fun. That'll be an interesting little event. And I need to get together a prize pack. Remind me that. We need to give cool things away to those Wordle champions. We got any letter jams? I feel like I need a word appropriate.
We have word games, I'm
winner.
Sure.
We probably have some word games we can give away.
Yep.
Some kind of cool prize. Should be really fantastic. If you guys have not already decided to come, man, it's not too late. You should make the trip. You won't regret it. I promise. I don't know how I can promise that, but I promise it. It's going to be super fantastic.
We have a huge library, and we're adding all the hot new games to it this year.
Yep.
Do we know how many games are in the library, Melissa?
I want to say it's like 1,500 maybe.
I was going to say it was over 1,000, but I didn't know it was 2,000 yet.
Pre-added stuff.
It may be up to 2,000. I don't know. Hmm.
It is a lot. There's a lot of opportunities to win, a lot of opportunities to play. There's going to be a lot of really fun people there, not just us, but lots of other fun people to play with. And just really friendly atmosphere. We enjoy bringing new people into the hobby, and so we're happy to come and like literally hold your hand, sit down and play a game with you, make you feel comfortable.
But we don't have to hold your hand.
We don't. We can wear gloves and social distance at the same time. But if you want us to, we'll be there for you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and there's a kids' room as well. I know Chantel has a lot of things planned for that.
Yep. All-day events in the kids' room.
We got it going on.
Great.
We would love you guys to join us. Check out tantrumcon.com to learn more. See you guys next time on the podcast. It's going to be super fun. Until then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.